Hello and welcome to the Priest Word Podcast. I'm your host, Dean Carmichael, with a little bit of a different episode this week. I want to talk to you a little bit about the word solitude and trying to find solitude and just my own personal experience in that. I want to read real quick Genesis chapter number 33 and 32. In verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask me after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Now, without going too much into the interpretation of that passage, that is the story of Jacob, where Jacob is in a world of trouble. He's got Esau coming after him. He's got Laban coming after him. He has a lot of problems with his family. There's been a lot of heartbreak, betrayal. And the main thing Jacob has to fix is his heart with God. He has to go to the source. And when he's finally left alone, that's where he finds solitude with God. And we know that the rest of the story there, where he has an encounter with God and he ends up walking away differently. Literally, he ends up having his name changed. And if you have followed this podcast at all, know that I definitely try to always encourage solitude and discourage isolation. There's a big difference between solitude, having time with God, and then isolation, having me time, going away by yourself, getting away from everybody else and pouting or binging or whatever it may be. That's a very dangerous place, because that's where a lot of times Satan will come after us. So tell you a little bit about a personal story here. So actually, I'm not home right now. I live kind of in the Piedmont Triad area in North Carolina. So I am in a really good spot. We get all four seasons. I'm probably about 2 hours from the mountains, 2 to 3 hours from the beach. So it's a really good spot. And my wife gave me permission this week to try to find some solitude, try to find some time alone with God where I could get away. So I came out in the Wilkesboro area, Wilkesboro, North Carolina. If you've never been, I highly recommend it. It's a wonderful place, definitely more so in the spring or fall months, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. But I came out Laurel Springs, North Carolina. And before that, I went to Purlier, North Carolina, all close to Wilkesboro. And each night I got a cabin. I was able to find like a bed and breakfast type deal, or not a bed and breakfast, but just like a secluded little area that I could rent for the night. And I was able to get away for a little bit. I took some books with me that I felt that I needed. One of them was Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. If you're reading that, let me know. I'm reading it myself, and I find it very helpful so far. I also, of course, brought my journal, and not a lot of hiking. In fact, I haven't done any at all. I wasn't sure if I was going to or not. But the main purpose of this was to get away, but to go with God. Now, let me just kind of give you some personal things that I have learned on this trip. So the drive over wasn't bad, but I still had a lot on my mind on the way over. And that had a lot to do with just some things going on in the personal world. And you can relate to that, right? Whether it be family or work, or whether it be financial problems, or personal health or mental health, whatever it may be, a spiritual problem. There's a lot of things, and I know you can relate with me on that. Anybody listening to this podcast can relate when I say my mind was busy with other things on the way over here. And when I got to my first stop in Perlier, North Carolina, it wasn't a long drive. I actually left work a little early, went home, got my stuff packed, finished packing rather, and I drove on out. And I noticed when I left the house, the car, it didn't sound like it normally does when it cranks. And I kind of avoided it, ignored it. And so I drive out, I go to this cabin, and the cabin is not like a cabin in the woods type deal. I mean, it was a cabin in the woods, but it was more, some people would call it glamping. It was very, very cozy. It was actually right by the owner's property, and it was like something out of a Southern Living magazine. I mean, it was just a beautiful little cottage place. I mean, you walk in, and it's just very comfortable. The walls are a color, that the furniture, everything about it is just, it's cozy. You walk in, you feel right at home. You can live there. If someone said, hey, you have to be here for the next 6 months, you're on house arrest, you can't leave for whatever reason, you would be like, okay, fine, sounds good to me. And close the door and you would be good. It was on a farm. There was beautiful landscapes. There was country music, if you will. You know, there's that's a really corny joke, I'm sorry, but pretty much you're hearing farm animals. That I wish I could edit this out. I'm recording it live. That was a dumb joke I heard from a preacher one time, but you could hear farm animals in the background. You could hear nothing but nature, and it was close enough where you still were with people, but it was extremely peaceful. And it was nice, but I get there, and I'm a little bit of a perfectionist, and I was supposed to park out in front of the cabin, and I did, but the way it was the main road. The cabin was on the side of the road, and you had to pull off, and there's like a little parking spot as you're on the main road, and if you want to turn around, you have to go in reverse. Best way to do it is go in reverse to the owner's property and turn around that way. So when I parked the first time, I wasn't too happy with how I parked. So I went back to move my car, and yeah, you guessed it. It wouldn't start. And immediately I thought to myself, okay, did I miss the boat on this thing? Was this just an idea that I really liked? And I began to feel convicted over a couple things. Number one, I'm not a man of prayer like I should be. I don't know if anybody ever listens or has done any retreats or of the basics or anything with John Eldridge with Wild at Heart. But if you listen to John Eldridge or read after him, he is a man of prayer. He is somebody who is going to pray. In my perception of him, the guy prays about everything, and that's biblical. Paul says, pray without ceasing. And I've listened to him talk about wanting to move out of the suburbs. And I'm sure the guy could do that if he wanted to. And I know something like moving is a big deal. And that's something we definitely want to pray about. But I've even gotten things from him before where it's every little thing about wanting to do things like this, like take an alone trip or to everything from what you're going to eat to dinner almost, you know, and just... That's what I started thinking about was, okay, this is a good idea. This is getting away, trying to find solitude. This is a good idea. Well, right. Of course that's a good idea. But was it what God wanted me to do? Was it the right thing to do? And now looking back, I think the answer to that is yes. And I'll tell you why. Because not having my car start got me to really think about being more of a man of prayer, praying about things, praying, really waiting. And just because something's a good idea and it's the permissive will of God to find solitude and do all that, but is it the immediate will of God? Is now the right time to do that? So I began to pray over that, And I really sought God and asked him, Lord, is this what you want me to do? As far as should I try to go out and get dinner? Because what happened was, I got there and I didn't have any food. I had now some chocolate milk protein shakes. So I'm in there and it's like, well, I can drink these, or I could, because I tried the car again and it started. And I waited a little while and it started again. I'm like, okay, it's obviously just a problem with the starter. If I let it sit for a while, it's fine. I'm sure if I drive and get some dinner somewhere, it'll come back and I'll take it to a car place. I found a car place. I called them and I said, hey, this is going on. Are y'all open? They said, yeah, come on in the morning. So I'm like, okay, I'm good. So the place was far enough where I doubt I could order any food because it was a good 10 miles, I think, from anything really. So that's probably a long ways for somebody to bring a delivery. And if so, I'm going to pay probably a lot of money, pay a car payment to get some Grubhub out there. But anyway, so I just prayed about it. I said, Lord, should I go out or should I just stay in the cabin? And I felt a strong pull to stay where I was. And so that's what I did. And I read that book, practice, not the whole book, but I read from that book, Practicing the Way. And then I watched the movie, The Count of Monte Cristo with Jim Caviezel and Guy Pearce. I think it was 2000, early 2000s, early to mid 2000s. Great movie, a great spiritual meaning to that movie about revenge, about how God should fight our battles for us, and how there's trying to get even with the evil. There's no way to do that. They're always going to be evil, and there's no closure there. And at least that's what I took from it. So it was a good time, and I it was such a cozy little spot. I was able to just really nestle down and remind myself, okay, this is why I came to this, and spent time with God, and did that. Invited him in, invited him with reading the book, invited him in with watching the movie. I mean, I just abided with him. So woke up Saturday morning, and checkout time's not till 11, but I got up early enough to where I could have my alone time with God and have some coffee, but then also try to get to that car place at 8 o'clock. So got everything cleaned up, went out to the car, and it cranked. So I drove straight to this place, I don't know, 5, 10 minutes away. And the owner wasn't there. The guy working there was supposed to open up, but he forgot his keys. So I got to spend some time just chit-chatting, having those engagements, trying to pray that, people will see Christ in me. And I didn't take the guy down the Romans road. I didn't even ask him about Christianity or anything like that. I just spoke to him with kindness, and he spoke to me with kindness. It was a great conversation. I met several people that way on Friday. But the owner finally got there, and he's like, "Hey, let's look at this thing." I told him what was going on. He's like, all right, pop the hood and I'll crank it up. And I went to crank the car up, and would you know it, right? I went to crank it up and that baby would not start. I mean, it wouldn't even turn over. And that was just kind of a moment where it was like, okay, that was validation. Yesterday was good. I had a good day. God showed me that I need to be a man of prayer more. I need to pray about everything. I need to pray about the little things. Just because something's a good idea doesn't mean now's the right time. And this was a good trip for me. I learned something huge from this. If I can go back and do this differently, I wouldn't. But I think God used this to show me that, hey, make these things a matter of prayer. Be more careful. Wait. If you don't get the answer you're looking for, just wait. And have faith and rest in that. So that was the first big takeaway, was to truly pray about all those things, which of course led to me praying about other things. But I was able to when I was at the first cabin, when I realized, hey, I just need to stay put, there was a lot of things that God brought to my heart when I realized I need to be a man of prayer, and I need to pray about these little things, but also I need to keep, as my dad used to say, and he wrote in his Bible, I need to keep short records with God. And there was a lot of individuals that I was holding bitterness against. There were some people that I need to forgive. There were some situations that I needed to invite God in and let him take control. And I was able to do that. And so I wrote down a couple things that I realized I needed. And number one was prayer. I need to revisit the Tyler Statton's book, Living Like, how's it go? Praying Like Monks and Living Like Fools. I believe that's the title of it. There was a lot of practical things in there around prayer that I need to practice. I want to be a man of prayer. Second thing was solitude. So truth be told, I have not been having the alone time that I have needed with God this year. And there's excuses for that. There's reasons that I can try to come up with. And I can try to say, well, I haven't been able to do it because I'm really tired, or I don't have the space that I used, whatever it may be. It doesn't matter. Fact of the matter is, I had to literally, God had to get me to go out on this trip to show me that, hey, this is something you need to be doing every day. I need to pull you out of your everyday life to show you this alone time that you're spending, this abiding with me that you're having. You need to do this every day. This isn't just let's plan a trip. What this was, and my pastor said this one time in a podcast we were recording together, and I really liked it, and it's a great way to live. So think about a basketball game. You have the coach on the sideline, and he tells the player to come here real quick, and they have a quick meeting. They get rehydrated, and they run back out on the court. That's what this was. This was a quick timeout, okay? You're not doing what I've trained you to do. You're not sticking to the basics. You're going off game plan. You've got all the excuses in the world, and they're good excuses. They're good reasons. But we're not doing what we said initially we were going to do. And we need to call a timeout. We need to revisit this. This is what God had for me this week. And so solitude is something we need to do every day, something I need to do every day. Doesn't matter where I'm at, what I'm doing, I need to find a place, and it needs to be first. There's something that, people may argue with this and say, hey, as long as you have alone time with God, it's good. And I agree with that. But it needs to be first thing, in my opinion. It needs to be first thing because, as Paul said, he died daily to the flesh. And he encouraged us to put on the armor of God. Do that first. I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know if that's 30 minutes. I don't know. I don't think 15 minutes is enough. But I don't know if that's 45 minutes, 20 minutes. I don't know that maybe we wake up and pray a guided prayer. For example, I like the Wild at Heart guided prayer. If you go to the Wild at Heart app that John Eldridge has, he has guided prayers on there. And there's a daily prayer that he has for men, and there's a daily prayer that Stacy, his wife, has for women. I would recommend that. I do that. I do the daily guided prayer for men. I start my day out that way. And then I journal. So I do the right method of journaling, an acronym that I came up with. W stands for worship. So I'll write down worship, and then I'll write down maybe a song or two that I listen to, maybe a verse that's on my heart. And then R stands for reading. So this morning I read a devotional book. If I could find the name of it here. I read a devotional book called Man of God Renewed by David Schmidt. I believe his name is. Talk about being fed and nourished. And he quoted Luke chapter 24, verse 29. And then I stands for intercession. Now, obviously, I've already done my beginning prayer, and I've asked God to touch my time with him, but also praying about other things, praying about just writing things down, like safety going home, what to do for the rest of the day. There's a funeral today at my church. I prayed for the service there. There's an Easter egg hunt today also at my church. Prayed for that. Service tomorrow, family, friends, et cetera. And obviously having your just writing down prayer requests, really. You already have your initial prayer time, but just writing those things down. T stands for thoughts. And I wrote down where I was today, what I was feeling. Actually, I wrote down about this trip that I need to come up with three things. Did this help? What did I learn? And what am I going to do differently? Those are, hey, if I can't answer those things, I just wasted not a lot of money, but I wasted some money and I wasted a whole lot of time that I could have been doing something else. I don't want to have a life where I have to do stuff like this to find solitude. Because if I'm not finding solitude in my everyday life, then I need to replan how I live life as a whole. Don't get me wrong. There are levels of solitude. There are retreats. There are times where you really, sometimes the coaches need to take you out of the game and have some extra practice time and then send you back in. Going back to that analogy, but I think you see what I'm trying to say there. And then E stands for engage. What are my plans on engaging people the rest of the day? And I wrote down, checking on some of my widows at the church. I'm a deacon, of course, checking in on them, my shut-ins. I wrote down checking on widows, have family time, and then there's some friends I want to text and see how they're doing and check in on them. So right way to journal. I have a podcast on that, but that's something I do. That's a spiritual discipline. So I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what solitude looks like for you. I don't know if it's getting up first thing, having that prayer, and then purposefully setting a time later to come back and journal and read, and then come back later in the evening and do something. Or I don't know what that looks like. You do it all in the morning. Either way, it needs to strengthen us and allow us to be able to live life with God, as Brother Lawrence would say, life with God, and to truly abide in Him. And as Paul said, pray without ceasing. You think of Psalm 1, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And it says that he meditates day and night. The psalmist said to hide his word in our hearts. That means to literally abide with God and spend life with Jesus. Spend life where you're praying without ceasing. You're staying in an attitude of prayer. You're meditating rather on the scripture. So number one, the big thing was I wanted to be a man of prayer. I want to be a man of prayer. Number two, I want to be a man of solitude. And number three, I want to be a man of spiritual disciplines. And obviously those help with your solitude and with your prayer. But accountability check-ins, journaling, dieting and exercising, that can bring you closer to God. Bible reading, worship, different duties around the church, all of those things to help me abide in Christ. So I left that first place, and so I went and got my car fixed. I got the star fixed. And so I drove then through Wilkesboro, and I stopped at a couple places, coffee shops and downtown area, walked around, bought the movie Kingdom of Heaven. And that was something in the John Eldridge app or the Wild at Heart Basic that he did, where he's actually talking about that character and talking about how the main character of the movie Balin, how he used him as an example. And I watched the movie and I see how he fought to defend Jerusalem, and he's also he was fighting internal corruption. And after he got forgiveness for his sins, he really looked at life differently, and he saw the value in each life, and he was a man of principle. He refused to do something bad and justify it as a way of doing good. He felt he lived a life where right was right and wrong was wrong. And that was, of course, that's very biblical. Isaiah warns us about those who call evil good and good evil. And he was a very upright man and had a reason to fight, and he had a reason to believe what he believed in. So that helped out. That was a good movie. I got it. So when I got to this second cabin, this place was more, it wasn't as cozy. It's not as cozy as the first place. The first place was very, I'm going to call it, I called it glamping earlier. I won't call it glamping, but it was a very cozy little cottage. It was something you would see out of a magazine. This place is more of just a place to find solitude, but it's also kind of a place where it's a cabin in the woods. I mean, it's literally, it's just like a, it looks like a house inside, cabin on the outside. It's like a one bedroom studio apartment, and it's out in the middle of the woods. So, I get out here and they had a fireplace. So a lot of my time was in front of the fire inside, and that was very refreshing. And then I watched that movie, and the window right by my bed had a wonderful place for the sunrise. So I woke up this morning, saw the sunrise as I was waking up, had some coffee, and got cleaned up, got everything packed. And now I'm recording a podcast. So here I am. So my plan for the rest of the day, obviously, is to go get lunch and read some more of this Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer, and read a little bit more of that about abiding with Jesus. And don't know what the rest of the day holds, but I plan on getting home in enough time where I can maybe watch a little bit of baseball with the family, have some family time, wake up tomorrow morning and go to the Easter sunrise service. But I want to keep abiding in Christ. I want him to bless these things. I want him to I want to invite him into watching a baseball game with my family. I want to invite him in on the drive home to my lunch. And tomorrow morning when I wake up, I want to have solitude with him. And I want to abide in him. And I want to pray without ceasing throughout the day. And I want to meditate on his word. I want to memorize scripture. And I want to talk to people. And I want them to see Christ in me. I don't want to... I use this example of waffle Christianity versus pancake Christianity. And if you want to steal that and write a book and make millions of dollars, that's fine. Hey, you go ahead. But waffle Christianity is compartmentalized. Many people have lived their life as Christians in different compartments. They have one little block for church. They have another block for work. They have another block for home. They have another little compartment for fun, another little compartment for how hanging out with friends, and it's just it's sections. They live life in sections. It's really social habits. They act a certain way when they're in certain places. I want to live life like think of a pancake, for example. There is no compartments. I mean, it is what it is. There it is. It's a flat surface. There's nothing dividing anything. It's just a flat surface. I know that might be a silly illustration, but which way do you want to live? You want to live a life of compartments, or do you want to just simply live life with God? You're going to watch a baseball game? You're doing it with God. You're going to watch a movie? You're doing it with God. Probably shouldn't have a lot of swearing and any kind of nudity or sexual content in it. If you're gonna sit there and literally worship God and try to find the big story of redemption and sit there and try to find the hero of the movie and how that can relate and even be a type of Christ and even be a type of a hero you want to be in your life, it's going to be hard to do that with God and worship him and talk with him while he's sitting there with you watching that movie when it's a bunch of junk and trash. It's going to be hard to go to work and abide in him and have engagements with others and start gossiping about someone when you're literally throughout your day worshiping, telling Jesus how much you love him and talking to him and reciting scripture and all of those things. It's not a pious way of living. It's a practical way of living. And showing others out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's showing others what Christ has done in your heart. It's showing yourself that you're serious about this thing. I mean, it's a way of life. So that's it. I rambled on for a while there. I haven't recorded in a while, but I think this is a good comeback episode. So I think that's it. Next week, hopefully next couple of weeks, I'll have a new podcast for you. But hey, listen, reach out to me. If you're thinking about planning a trip or something like this, it's good. But the main thing I learned is you need to find something that's practical. Because an adventure, the idea of an adventure is exciting. But can I remind you of something? Every day is an adventure. And every day with Jesus is a wonderful day. So don't lose sight of that. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.